One of the most common words in our worship songs today is the word holy, and for good reason. When we get a picture into the actual throne room of God in Revelation 4, we see that this word is repeated day and night every single time the living creatures lock eyes with the King on his throne. They never grow tired of telling him he is holy. But do we know what this word means? Do we truly worship and live with any idea of the gravity and weight that this word, and more importantly, the one it most perfectly describes, carries? His holiness demands response, and pretty much every time we see people catch a glimpse of it, they can't even control themselves. They're hit with awe, wonder, terror, and glory unimaginable. Isaiah's response in chapter 6 is, "Woe is me, I'm ruined." Moses took off his sandals and hid his face at the burning bush. And again in Revelation 4, we see the 24 elders constantly jump off their thrones and throw their crowns at his feet. Yet somehow we can so easily walk into our church services, sip our coffee, and sing the same word and not flinch. My heart burns to enter the presence of God with the same reverence that we see in Scripture when people are gloriously confronted by the holiness of God. Exodus 33 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Moses recognizes that God's presence is the only thing that separates the Israelites from any other nation, and he pleads with God, "Now show me your glory." In verse 19, the Lord replies, "I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." It's easy to read stories like this and long to have an experience as real as Moses had that day with the Lord. But somehow, because of the blood of Jesus, our invitation is even better. His death on the cross tore the veil that separated us from God, and we're invited to holy, personal communion with him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 that whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and we behold his glory. Somehow the God whose holiness has been dropping angels to their knees since the beginning of time desired relationship with sinners like us so much that he gave his life to have it. Somehow sinless perfection bore the weight of every sin you've ever committed so that you could behold him with an unveiled face. And somehow unmatched purity walked the same dirt as you and me so that we can boldly walk the floors of his throne room. As you worship during this song, ask the Lord to give you a greater revelation of both his awful holiness and his unimaginable love for you. May even the smallest glimpse of his nature bring our hearts to our knees every single day until the moment we join the eternal choir of every nation, tribe, and tongue singing holy, holy, holy.
Woe is me. My eyes have seen the King of Kings. Unworthy, but you're welcoming me to behold you. What majesty, like Moses in the cleft of the rock. You hid my sin behind your saving cross. Show your glory. I'll never know the fullness of your holiness. But all I need to come and die is just a glimpse. So hide my life in the wounds of Christ, that I may see your holiness.
What a purity.
I adore you, consumed fire.
are filled with fire. Could there be a greater sight to behold? The beauty of his face, the majesty of grace. Let his throne room hear the praise of our hearts. To the one who's dressed in white, and whose eyes are filled with fire. Could there be a greater sight to behold? Oh, the beauty of his face, the majesty of grace. Let his throne room hear the praise of our hearts as we sing.
Voice.
We sing holy.